Good morning, St. Paul's. The first reading today is from 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, which can be found on page 1903 in your pew Bible. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The second reading is from John 15, verse 9 through 17. It can be found on page 1677 in your pew Bibles. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Would you take a moment and pray with me this morning? Holy and loving God, fill our hearts this morning with your great love. Lord, you have called us your own. And so, Lord, we come to you today to be close to you, to learn from you. So, Lord, meet us today where we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've noticed the readings the last couple of weeks, we're getting really close to Pentecost. Sunday, the celebration, the coming of the Holy Spirit that we will celebrate in 2 weeks. And in this season, between this Eastertide season, remember, friends, here's a little church trivia. Easter is not one day. Easter is what? 50 days. 50 days. The 50 days between Easter Sunday and Pentecost. Jesus was alive. He ate bread with his friends. He reconciled with Peter. He was seen by many witnesses. And so for 50 days, we celebrate the reality of Easter, and it culminates in Pentecost. And during these 50 days, the church gives us readings that hint at the coming of the Holy Spirit that we will celebrate in a couple of weeks. There are hints of it in 1 John and hints of it in John 15. And the crux of it all, I believe, are a few verses that Mary read for us right in the middle of this section from John 15. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That is the Christian life in a nutshell, is being a friend of God. So I was thinking about friendship this week and how friendship through the ministry and the person and work of the Holy Spirit. What that means for us as Christians, as believers, as followers of God. And I thought of this movie from 1935, The Bride of Frankenstein. Now, you may be wondering how, and of course, that has everything to do with the scripture, doesn't it, Pastor? Frankenstein, in The Bride of Frankenstein, he's wandering through the forest and he comes across this cottage where there's a guy playing a fiddle and he's blind. And he senses Frankenstein coming into the cottage and he says, "Friend, friend, hello." And of course, Frankenstein is mute, can't speak, and so he kind of mumbles. And the old man brings him into the cottage. And then this happens. We find that friendship does two things. It humanizes us, and it's a great cure for loneliness. After this clip, the blind man and Frankenstein spend a couple days there until hunters come in to the woods and they see Frankenstein. They end up setting the blind man's cottage on fire. They chase after Frankenstein, and he's kind of groping through the rubble. And Frankenstein in this time has kind of been humanized. By his friendship, he's learned a few manners, he's learned a couple words, and as he's groping through the rubble, he says, "Friend, friend, friend," looking for his friend. Friendship. There's something that we recognize in friendship that cures loneliness and humanizes us. Because there's something in friendship for which all of us are hardwired. Because friendship, relationship, mutual giving of oneself is at the very core of who God is. In the triune life, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is this eternal relationship of self-giving love. And if we are made in that image, in the image of the triune God, you and I then were hardwired in our very core, made for relationship. For friendship, one with another. So when Jesus, as he's about ready to head to the Garden of Gethsemane and begin all the events of his passion, gathers his disciples together and he calls them friends, which would have been absolutely stunning to any religious person in the ancient world, even good observant Jews. Because God in the ancient world, and even in the ancient Jewish understanding, God would be friends with certain individuals. God was friends with Abraham and with Moses and with David. But for God to be an intimate friend, to have a relationship with everyone, was unheard of. And Jesus gathers them together and he says, "You're no longer my servant. I've invited you in. Now you're my friend. Now you're my friend." And so for you and I to be a friend of God, what happens to us? We're given what? Holy Spirit, who keeps us connected to God. The great cure for loneliness that humanizes each one of us. You see, friends, friendship, even friendship in religion. For Buddha, we have a writing, he lived and died, and we have this teaching. Muhammad, he lived and died, we have a book. Confucius lived and died, and we have a set of precepts to follow. Jesus died and is alive, and we're given his very person. We're not just given teachings about him, he gives us himself. When we enter into a relationship with him, we become friends with God. We don't just know about God because guess what? Like Jesus said, we're no longer servants. We're no longer, we're not just there to do his bidding. We're to be drawn close in, to be an intimate friend, and then to befriend others. To befriend others. When I was a student in college in a history class, I took a course called History of Sociology, and it was just about as boring as it sounds. But there was one study that I remember so clearly, And it was a study about a little community on Martha's Vineyard. And this little community on Martha's Vineyard had been pretty isolated for hundreds of years until the middle part of the 20th century. And as a result of its isolation, so many of the families intermarried. And one of the things that happened as they intermarried that the sociologists found was that from generation to generation, in many of the families, there was deafness was passed down genetically. And so something happened in this study as they analyzed this group of folks. None of them felt lonely. None of them felt like they were isolated. And they didn't have any social services on the island. There were no deaf services. There were no special schools. And they compared that group, that deaf population, with a deaf population on the mainland near Boston. And do you know what they found in the deaf population in the mainland in Boston? Deep loneliness, isolation, and sadness. And the group on Martha's Vineyard didn't have any social services. They didn't have a deaf school. You know what happened? Every single person in that village learned sign language. They weren't there to serve the deaf community. You know what happened? They became friends with them. They built a relationship with them. And in the one deaf community near Boston that was served by a social service program, sequestered in their own schools, receiving their own services. You know what happened? They got sad and lonely and depressed. But on that little community on Martha's Vineyard, because everybody learned sign language, there was relationship. They weren't serving those who were deaf, in relationship with them. They were friends. And it made all the difference in the world. Friends, God wants to be your friend. He wants a relationship with you. And when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you enter into that relationship. But it is not just for you only. When you have been given the gift of divine friendship, you're then called to give it away. To find those for whom friendship is a stranger. Those for whom loneliness seems to rule the day. And you're called to befriend them. And in doing so, that great love of God, which has turned monsters into humans, that has cured loneliness, that has built relationship, it's called to flow through us to those around us, that they too might find in God a friend. Friends of God, let's be friends to others. Amen. Amen.